Good afternoon. Howdy. I still say howdy from time to time. It just feels very Texan, even though I'm not a Texan. But there we go. What do you consider essential to pack when you go on a trip? I keep finding I forget things. So I have a packing list. Of course, it has all the usual things, socks and shirts and whatever else. But I also put on those things that I were probably going to forget. Umbrella, collar stays. These days, lots of chargers. Got to remember a charger for everything. And if I forget something, disasters can ensue if I can't charge what I need or stay dry under my umbrella, etc. When Paul was writing to Timothy, Paul recommends two essential things that Timothy must keep with him to avoid disaster on the journey of life. So today we're going to look at 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. I'm going to read 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. Paul writes, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." A short little section here. So let's look at what Paul says about the importance of faith and a good conscience on our spiritual journey. Previously in this letter that he wrote, in verses 3 through 11, Paul was urging Timothy to hold the line against false teachers and false gospels. He told him to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And then he moved on to recounting his journey from a prosecutor of the church to a minister of that of Jesus Christ. He said so that Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern for those who were going to believe. And now Paul urges Timothy to fight the good fight, to wage the good warfare, or to war the good warfare. Those are really the same word. Now, I don't recall in studying a passage where the commentaries held more widely varied opinions on what these things mean. The commentaries in many places hold opposite opinions. For example, some say when Paul says this charge, he's pointing back to verse 3, where he said to charge some to teach no other doctrine. Some say he's pointing forward to waging the good warfare. Some say, no, he's pointing to all of Christian doctrine that had been delivered to Timothy for him to pass on to others. Dealing with the prophecies previously made, some say these are visions by prophets about what Timothy was going to do or become, or perhaps prayed over him during his ordination. Some see the hopes and dreams of regular people, those who knew him and watched him grow up and thought this might turn out really well. Perhaps that's what they mean by prophecies. Some see visions that Paul had himself that led him to choose Timothy to become part of the ministry. Some see directions or instructions that were previously given to Timothy. And they say, no, there's no special prophecy made at all. Dealing with the shipwreck, some say that this is final, not recoverable. Others say this is not final. It is recoverable. Delivered to Satan, some say that that means excommunicating him, putting him out of the church, removing him from the kingdom of God, so to speak, and handing him over to the kingdom of Satan. Others say, no, this is physical punishment, actually giving him to Satan for, like Job, to inflict physical punishment on him, perhaps even satanic possession. Dealing with Alexander, some say this has to be the same metalsmith that troubled Paul before. Others say, no way this is the same Alexander that troubled Paul before. There's all sorts of variations. And I think there are some things that we're just not going to know when he says the prophecies, when he says delivered to Satan, I don't think we're going to know exactly what he meant. And so we'll leave some of those things aside for later conversations. If we want to talk after church, come find me. It should be an interesting discussion. But there are some things that we do know and that are a little more clear. So let's focus on those. What is clear that Paul says that a disaster is looming. A shipwreck is coming. And so let's look at this. I've titled this message, Disaster in Three Acts. Let's look at those three things. Because those who are approaching shipwreck, it seems to happen in three acts, like a play. Abandon conscience, abandon faith, and then abandon ship. So let's start with abandon conscience. Paul says that these have rejected a good conscience. Paul told Timothy to hang on to it, but there are dangers awaiting those who have rejected it. Now, I say that we're dealing with the word conscience and not the faith, because the word which is singular. The word which is singular. And so I believe that refers to the conscience only in this particular section. Back up in verse 5 and 6, Paul says that the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some having strayed have turned aside. They strayed up there. But this word rejected that he uses is much stronger. In other places it's translated thrust away. In other places it's translated cast away. This is an intentional act. It's not that they've simply strayed here. They've abandoned it. They've walked away from it as being of no benefit. What is the conscience? I think we all know, but I like to go to the definition to help me clarify. Dictionary.com says, conscience is the inner sense of what is right or wrong in one's conduct or motives, impelling one toward right action. The conscience helps us understand the right from the wrong and helps us move in that direction. I found an interesting sentence in the Biblical Illustrator. It's a biblical commentary compiled by Joseph Excel. And he says, shall we call conscience the compass to direct the ship's course, and faith the sails that are to impel her on her way? Interesting picture. That conscience is like the compass that's pointing the right way. And Paul says our compass must be good. It must be properly calibrated. Following a compass that's been damaged or disabled for some way is surely pointing us to ruin and disaster. That's going to get us into trouble quickly. How do we calibrate that compass? How do we calibrate our compass? How do we know that it's pointing in the right direction? Jesus said that we are to be sanctified by God's truth, and he says, your word is truth. And so we calibrate our conscience by studying God's word, seeing where it points, and then following in that same direction. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It guides our way. A little farther on, Paul wrote in this letter to Timothy that those who serve in the church must hold the mystery of the faith with a good conscience, pointed in the right direction. Of course, we can damage that compass. And if we disable that or damage it, our conscience is no longer good. It becomes an evil conscience. If you hold a large metal object near a compass, it's going to swing. If we find something else that we find more attractive than God, more attractive than God's word, and sin is very pleasant in this world, that can skew our compass off course, and we'll be following the wrong direction. A little later on, again in chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul talks about those who have their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's damaged. It's burnt. It's no longer functioning. It's no longer sensitive to guidance. It loses its ability to feel. And at that point, disaster is looming. As mentioned, we're approaching the Passover, a time where we're examining ourselves. I think one of the places we should look for is areas where we start to rationalize sin. Where we were on the right course before, and we've slowly let things slide a little bit. It's okay to follow this other course a little bit. It'll be fine. It's not really a sin. It's not really a big deal. Perhaps we may find some of those areas where the pulls of this world have modified our compass and it's pointing a little in the wrong direction. And so that's Act 1. They are abandoning conscience. Act 2 is abandoning faith. Abandoning faith. Paul says that Timothy is to have faith and a good conscience, but that can be abandoned. This is personal faith. Later on, he talks about the faith, the doctrine. But here he's simply talking about faith, that personal trust that we have in God. From the illustration above, they mention that as the sails that provide power to follow where the compass points. I'll read again from the Biblical Illustrator. He says, "You do not reach faith through a good conscience, but a good conscience through faith. A good conscience grows on faith like fruit on a tree, not faith on a good conscience. The good conscience cannot subsist without faith, but in turn, faith cannot subsist without a good conscience. One relies on the other. Destroy the good conscience, and faith cannot stand. These men, Alexander and Hymenaeus, these men put away the good conscience. Then, and therefore, they lost the faith." If a ship is not well maintained by the good conscience of the sailors going about their business, that ship begins to malfunction. It doesn't steer properly. It doesn't hold the wind correctly. And so the sailors begin to lose faith in that ship. Of course, some can abandon faith first. Some lose faith in God. God does not exist, they say, or God cannot be relied upon. And so they lose faith in God, and then they abandon the conscience that guided them up to that point. They begin to do things that they once thought were wrong. But it can also happen the other way. That by constantly wearing away at that conscience, and by ignoring it and not following it, we begin to wear away at that conscience, and that can lead to the loss of faith. In Hebrews, the writer said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." When we stop following the conscience, when we stop believing that God is, that God is watching, and that God will reward those who follow him, faith then goes. And that leads to Act 3 then, to abandoning ship. Paul says that without faith and a good conscience, the shipwreck of the faith will follow. This is a shipwreck of the faith, the doctrines. Of course, with no direction, with a compass not guiding, with no power, with those sails unable to move the ship will quickly find the rocks. And at that point, the only recourse is to abandon the ship, to leave it there. Paul had plenty of experience with this, of course. He mentioned several times that he was shipwrecked, and he was saved from those shipwrecks, and he had to leave the ship. So he's very familiar with the picture that he's painting. Those who neglect the house of God very soon abandon the faith, very soon abandon it. Now, Paul sets up Hymenaeus and Alexander as lighthouses here. Their ship has foundered on the rocks. They've abandoned it. And Paul sets a lighthouse that says, watch out for this. Don't come this way. Disaster looms. At one time they had faith. At one time they had a good conscience. But they thrust those away. They rejected those. And shipwreck followed. I think this is reversible. Some talk about the ship. You know, you can't pull it off the rocks. We've seen that. Paul, as we mentioned, suffered shipwrecked. And he was saved from that. This mentions here that their punishment was intended to teach them, to chasten them, as the word is translated. I think that means to possibly bring them back on course. But of course, they have to have their compass realigned to the Word of God. They have to renew their faith in the one who gave it to them. This time of year, we're examining ourselves. We're checking our packing list. Do we have all the things that we need for this spiritual journey, so to speak? So when we pack for this journey of life, let's make sure that faith and a good conscience are included.